4 Nancy on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Hello there.
Pilkington. Steve, you got any other toilet-related anecdotes?
Rick, my life is just full of toilet trauma.
Yeah.
And I, Carl, you may not realise this, but a while back I used to host, this is bizarre, I used to host a radio show on the BBC World Service, right? Now, you, if you want someone who's, who's the voice of integrity, the voice of intelligence, the voice of a nation, you're going to come to me. That's yeah. obvious. And I was broadcasting to, and they've got listeners of something like 50, 60 million people around the world. It's mental, the listenership of the World Service. And I used to host this show with someone
It's a big place, Steve.
The world?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And anyway, so I had to be into Bush House, where they broadcast from, 10 o'clock every Friday morning to broadcast around the world to 50 million people, right? And one week, I just went to the toilet in my house, right? Everyone had left. I got there a bit late. I got up a bit late. Already against me. The clock was already against me. Had to be there at 10 o'clock, broadcast around the world. And we got two toilets in our house, downstairs one, right? And the door had already been a bit dodgy. It was one of those doors where you had to give it a bit of a kick as you went in. It was getting a bit tight. I don't know what the wood was expanding or something. You know, I'm in there. And same thing again happens, no toilet paper. I think, oh, God, I'm going to have to somehow kind of make it upstairs.
Why don't you check first?
I normally do, Rick. I normally do. It's just on certain occasions when I'm bleary-eyed or something, I forget. Or occasionally I forget. Normally I do check.
Right.
And you've got to bear in mind that it's not like this is happening every week. This is over the course of many years that sure. these incidents have accumulated. So
you've condensed them.
For the purposes of this anecdote.
Sure. Right?
Yeah. Yes. And, sure. Great, you're just brilliant. To keeping the pace above an anecdote there, Rick. You've just drawn in. I don't know where I am now. Anyway, oh, I know where I'm. Sure. I'm trapped in a toilet with no toilet paper.
Yeah.
That's where I am. And I'm thinking maybe I peel off some of the wallpaper, you know, things like that. But there's nothing I can do. I got to go upstairs. Well, exactly. But I got to go upstairs and find
toilet paper. Was there any?
There wasn't.
There wasn't.
All right. I got to go upstairs and maybe find a notepad or something like that. Oh. And so I try the door. Right, the door's wedged. And I'm pulling on the door and I can't. Get the door open. It's just like it won't come open, and it's already. And I knew it was going to come to this at some point. Like this is like the clock's ticking. I'm trying to pull the door open. Tries around my ankles again, and I'm thinking, well, what I could do is I could open the window, I suppose, and like try and climb out. But not really, because I got the trousers around the ankles. And that's
or if it was raining, just stick your ass out. Two birds with one stone.
It was a beautiful day, Rick.
I call it the World Bee Day.
And so, so what I'm thinking is, well, wonder. I got my mobile phone in there, luckily, because it's in my pocket. I'm thinking maybe I could phone. I was seriously
Kleenex.
Maybe I'll phone the fire brigade.
By this point, I mean, it just dried.
No, it hadn't. It was.
Hold on. Was that little puppy not around? Because no. Sometimes you can call that. It's got a little bit wrapped round it.
Listen.
Or just use the puppy itself.
There's 50 million people around the world going to need to hear my voice in like 30 minutes.
Exactly. And where's Steve? He's not locked in the toilet again, is he?
Exactly.
Oh, no.
So I'm thinking about phoning the fire brigade, and I'm thinking, sure. like, if I do that, it's going to, you know, it's going to be the first call that goes straight on the speakerphone.
Yeah.
For like the entire fire brigade service. Everywhere.
With a butch hero carrying you down over his shoulders with your trousers around your ankles. Exactly. Can I just not pull him up? No, you've got to be learned a total lesson.
Yeah. But I imagine the idea of a phoning up and going, hello there, I'm trapped in a room in my house. Oh yeah, which one is it? Oh,
it's
I don't need
small.
To know.
It's quite small. Is it?
Yeah. It's not the toilet, is it? Because we don't want to come and rescue someone who's trapped in the toilet.
Which service do you require? Paper.
So I think I can't find the fire brigade, the clock's ticking. So then I think one of my housemates is still in the house, but still asleep. So I phone the house number, right, phone rings and rings and rings for ages. And eventually, he answers the phone, right? Gets out of bed, answers the phone, yeah. Hi, it's Steve. All right, what's wrong?
What are you doing? Yeah. All right, yeah. Oh, I didn't wait, I don't know. What are you doing? Oh, just...
In the toilet. I'm just downstairs in the toilet.
Oh, yeah, what are you doing? Oh, well, I've finished what I'm... Have you got any toilet paper?
Any bog roll?
Yeah.
So he had to, kind of scrape together a few bits of paper, you know, and sort of tinfoil or whatever he could find in the house.
A cactus. Oh, no.
Pass it underneath the door... Right? And then I said, can you move away from the door while I, because I don't want you to hear me as I'm, you know, wiping the...
And so you didn't say that?
Yeah, well, I didn't want him to, you know, that's embarrassing.
What were you wiping it with? Not tumbleweed? What do you mean? What noise?
I know what you mean.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Right.
So then I say, right, can you smash
Why was he hovering? Why didn't he want to walk away? Will you keep your head, what was it, outside with a glass to his ear?
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully there was a window in the door, but it was frosted glass. Right. You could just see my semi-naked body moving around. And so eventually I said to him, look, listen, I'm going to need you to sort of kick the door in. He said, well, I don't want to kick the door in because you're going to have to pay for it, aren't we? I go, yeah, but I got to go to the World Service. I got, well, yeah. And he was a lovely man. He's the weakest man you've ever come across. It's like if there's one person you don't want to have to throw their body weight against the door, it's him. It's like he'll snap before the door will. So he's smashing against
the door. Sounds like a fetish to me, though. He went in there, and there you were naked with lots of toilet paper. And you go, oh, you've broken the door down, and there I am naked. Again.
Oh, you've rumbled me, Rick. I wish I'd not told that embarrassing story on the radio. Like it wasn't embarrassing enough, you've just got to make it slightly more seedy.
Oh, so did he get it down?
He did it, yeah, and I got to the World Service with, like, minutes to spare.
Oh.
And interestingly, I told that story to 50 million people around the world.
Yeah. Did they understand?
I think so.
I mean, is that a bit of a problem when you're on the World Service, like, thinking of things that everyone can understand?
Yes.
Because you can't.
It's a bit like when talking to you,
Carl. Yeah, exactly, Carl. I think you're on thin ice there, worrying about people understanding what you're saying.
No, but you can't talk about stuff that's on the telly and that, because some people say, well, we haven't even got a telly here.
Oh, yeah, you're listening to XFM 104.9. Play a record. Nirvana, All Apologies on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, obviously, with me, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Well, Steve, I met up with... I know it's forbidden, usually.
Let me just explain
to the listener. Me and Steve have got a little bit of a pact. We're not allowed to talk to Carl during the week because he comes out with too much dynamite and we want it to be fresh and it's just unfair. And if he sees us laughing, he clams up a little bit because he knows something's wrong with his head. So, I was in a pub, and Carl called, he returned a call, I'd called you earlier, and I said, oh, I'm just across the road, come over. And he came over, and we had a conversation, and I kept saying, no, save it, and I can't remember half the things he was saying, but I do remember one thing he said. He said that the human eye never grows. He said, unlike your ears and nose that keeps growing all your life, he says the human eye never grows. Now, there's a little bit of... He says, now you look at a baby, it's got big eyes. It's got the same size eyes as it will have.
When a baby is born, everyone always goes, oh, look at its eyes, don't they? Because that's like the main feature. Yes. They're quite big. They don't grow, they don't get any smaller, they stay the same size.
What, you mean once you become an adult, you've the same sized eyes?
No. Soon as you come out of the womb, your eyes, the size they are as a little baby... They stay the same size.
And just
like the sockets.
And I said, I pointed out to him, right, you know, I said, if that was true, Steve Merchant, when he was a baby, with these eyes he's got now, would have looked like a hammerhead shark.
All right, calm down. You don't want to go lay into the eyes.
Do you know what I mean? Just to prove my point.
I didn't laugh.
Good.
When he said that.
Respect.
Do you know what I mean, though?
I've got the eyes of the windows of the soul. And mine happen to be enormous
French
plate
windows.
Glass windows. Yeah. But, you know, but nevertheless, they're beautiful. Many people find them beautiful.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, many people do. But...
Do you know they don't have kneecaps either?
My eyes, or...?
What?
Babies. when they're born, they don't get kneecaps until they're about two.
They don't get kneecaps?
Is that true?
Yeah.
And also, what are you talking about, Carl? Isn't it a sort of bone? It's part of the leg bone.
Well, no, but all you've got lots more bones when you're born than...
Yeah, you've got 300 when you're born, then 205 when you're an adult.
Yeah, they all fuse, don't they?
Do they?
The head's got to be all soft to come out.
Right.
As we said earlier, you know.
I would know, I'm a shark.
Oh,
so
God.
What did you say when he said about my eyes being huge?
Okay, get off it!
I said that isn't nice, considering he's not here. Yeah, so I wait until he's here when I slag him off.
Yeah, very well. No, nice one, Carl. You're an honourable man.
Oh, well, this. I know, you see, the thing is, right, that made me think that it might be a little bit of truth in this.
There is, as well,
is that...
the ear thing. Have you seen that with
that's
old men
true,
who
yeah.
have really long ears?
Yeah.
And big noses.
Yeah. What, you mean do they eat buns and walk around in the jungle, these old men?
You mean that the ears and the nose carry on growing?
Yeah, they do, that's true. That's true, it's cartilage.
Yeah, but it's not like sort of Pinocchio.
No, after you're dead, you leave a body lying around, he's got a huge elephant
really?
Like this.
Really? If you left him long enough?
4 foot nose, that's what, yeah.
That's
no,
remarkable.
But you see, it's about the focal length in your eye, you see, because it's like a big lens. So it makes sense that they couldn't change that much. Because an owl, do you know why an owl turns its head round? Sort of like 180 degrees.
No.
Because it can't move its eyes. Because the eyes take up the whole... It's the biggest eye in the animal kingdom. The eyes take up the whole of its skull.
Really?
Yeah. And it has to move its... Yeah.
Has it got a brain in there as well?
It's got a brain in there, yeah, above the eye. Yeah. When I say the whole of the skull...
Quite, yeah. There's also some space for the brain.
What I meant is the the two diameters of the eye is the diameter of the.
You've lost me there on with diameters. And
you didn't like math, did you?
No, don't like math. Never understood it. Couldn't get to grips with math. I don't know about you, Carl.
Did you do math, Carl?
Now, how did you do in your exams on the math? Did you do that? I bet yours was rather like my theory, which is why do you need to figure it all out when you've got a calculator?
Exactly.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah.
You're right. And I agree.
Well, let's play a record, and afterwards I'm going to be testing you on your homework this week, Carl.
Could we do White Van Man first?
We could do, they've got to know what they're dealing with, yeah. Carl's homework was to read all about, as you know, Che Guevara.
Absolutely.
Last week, he did well on Rasputin, didn't he?
Did very well on Rasputin. Yeah, passed with flying marks there.
Let's have a bit of Wu-Tang, shall we?
Then let's have White Van Carl. Man. Yeah. White Van Carl. Nice.
Yeah. Don't erase none of that good shit. Wu-Tang Clan there, Steve. XFM 104.9, with me, Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington. Now, I just, remember something else, Carl's in the week. I know it's forbidden to talk to him, but I'll tell you this. He was talking, he was very excited about the Friends Reunited. He was a bit nervous at first, wasn't he, last week? But he was really getting into it. In the pub he was talking about those people, and he said, I'd never go on a reunion, though. So I'd never do that.
What, a school reunion?
Yeah, and he wouldn't want to see anyone. And I went, I said, wouldn't you want to see those two lads with the big heads and the webbed hands?
Oh yeah, these were people you went to school with, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't knock about with them, they were in the class.
What were they called?
Freaks.
Right.
Right. Okay. And he said, no, I wouldn't want to see them. He said, because what could you say? Oh, you haven't changed much, right? Mm. And he said, and they wouldn't go anyway, would they? I said, why? He went, well, they didn't have any friends.
Right.
And I said, well, weren't they friends with each other? And he went, no, that would have been too obvious. Like, they passed it and went, no, I know it's tempting, but let's not.
Everyone would think that's just what we were going to do.
Yeah.
Let's not do it.
Yeah. So they didn't even hang around with each other?
No.
See, I must say, in my head, I've got something like, it's like some sort of extra thing from Blake 7, that they're like some sort of, you know, lagoon monster. But they just had slightly oversized heads, did they?
See, does your head grow? Your eyes don't, does your head? Because maybe they've got to a point now that it's all sort of caught up with each other.
Well, at the time, the eyes were very small and the head was huge.
Just a very big head. And yeah. I mean, the fingers aren't going to change, you know, that's not...
They had webbed fingers?
It was like the penguin in Batman.
Really? Are you sure?
No, honestly.
Are you sure they weren't wearing mittens?
No, seriously.
Yeah, it wasn't home economics. They weren't getting some out of the oven, a very hot dish, were they? Every time you saw them.
But why were there two, but they weren't related and they weren't friends?
I don't know, I suppose it's like asthma and that, isn't it? Some kids have it. And it just was a coincidence.
Yeah, but asthma's quite a common thing. Webbed hands, Carl.
Yeah. I don't know, you don't think of it, do you, when you're a kid? You just sort of... when you first see them.
Yeah.
There goes the frog men. Anyway, Carl, look, let's have a little quick session of White Van Man. For those that don't listen to the show regularly, The Sun, as you may know, has a section called White Van Man where a member of the public gets asked their opinions on the week's big political and social hot potatoes. Carl, we just thought it would be fun if you answered some of the questions. It's not so much questions, it's just your views, really, on these big news stories. What do you make of Olympic ski hero Alan Baxter testing positive for drugs?
What did he do?
Well, he won a gold medal in the Olympics, and
he
was a skier,
right.
And he won gold medal, and they've just tested him positive for some kind of illegal drug.
But what, I mean, if he did, why take drugs to ski? Because all you do is balance.
But imagine, it'd be amazing if you were stoned, like, going down a hill.
Yeah, it's not like you have
It's not going to help you, is
it? No, it's just
like...
gravity that's doing all the work, isn't it, with skiing?
Yeah, but it's often to do with your athleticism, isn't it?
Like saying, and we've just found out the people on the toboggan were on crack. It's not going to help them. You sit there and you go with the flow.
Yeah.
And could I say,
the drugs
apparently
he was taking...
that's his defence,
probably. He probably wasn't jacking up H or, you know, dropping a few E's or getting stoned. He was probably taking more sort of performance-enhancing drugs as opposed to him just, like, scoring some shit around the corner from someone, getting off his tits and jumping in a toboggan. Doesn't mean that, does it?
He wasn't off his nut.
Yeah, yeah. You've tested you. You've pissed out your head.
But why doesn't he just say, don't be stupid, why would I do that? It's just not going to help me out.
But it is, isn't it? Because performance-enhancing drugs
Wait a minute, Steve. Wait a minute. Carl. Right, look at it this way. Okay, look at me. Yeah? Have I got his attention?
Yeah. The light's glinting off your ring there.
Yeah,
You're attracted.
Okay, right. No, keep concentrating. Right. Some athletes, you're aware they take drugs, that's to build up
swimmers
muscle.
Swimmers and stuff.
Yeah, swimmers.
Runners,
yeah. Not only do they help build muscle, right, but they can actually, you know, give them a boost performance-wise, yeah. Sort of like steroids and all this sort of stuff. Right? So that's the sort of thing we're talking about, okay?
Right, so again...
He wasn't on a bong before...
You?
What?
Why would that help you when you... All you've got to do is balance on skis.
Not when you're at the Olympic level.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do with, you know, your body and your legs.
It's practice, isn't it? It's like, if you've skied for years, then you've got good balance after a bit.
Oh, do you know what, Carl? Do you know what? You've made a mockery of drug taking. Well done. Right, yeah. Next one, Steve.
I hate this bit.
I don't know if you saw it. What did you make of Posh Spice's Warts and All documentary?
Yeah, I saw a bit of it.
What did you make of it?
I mean, people are slagging him off, aren't they, saying, you know, she's daft and that, but...
Daft, mate, you!
She's... I think they're all right, honestly.
Yeah,
you know, right. She's all right. I mean, I think David's really a decent bloke.
Sure. Would you agree that he's quite a simple man?
Yeah, but he's a footballer. He doesn't need to be... Do you know what I mean? It's like me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all right, I only got an E in history.
Sure.
But knowing about the Tudors doesn't help me press these buttons and put the next CD on.
No, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, good luck to him, and he's done well out of it. And it's just jealousy.
Yeah.
I remember, though, when I was back in Manchester, was in Piccadilly train station, and he was there, right? Not as big a star as he is now, back then, but he was stood there, and I was so close to going over to him and saying, did you go to my school? Because I recognised his face, but I didn't know who he was. Do you know when you sort of go, sure, I went to school, it's not the one with the big head.
Yeah.
But I do recognise him, then my girlfriend got off the train, and I said, I'm sure I know him. She said, yeah, it's David Beckham. And I was so close to
thank God for your girlfriend.
Over.
Does she get an awful lot of scrapes, does she?
She does, yeah.
Okay, about the fact that the pension crisis is going to force Britons to work into their 70s, Carl? You might have to carry on working into your 70s before you can claim a pension.
I think it's a good thing. Because you see a lot of old people who look bored.
Okay.
And I honestly think if you keep your brain busy, you'll live longer.
Yeah.
It's only when you actually shut down, right, that's when your body sort of dies because it doesn't feel it has a purpose. Yeah. It's like if you've got flu, keep going to work. If you have a day off, you just feel worse. You'll mope about at home. Doesn't do you any good.
What about where do you draw the line there? What if you say lose a finger? Pop into work?
Depends. If you can't concentrate because it's painful.
But what if you're a typist?
You're not going to type as many words, but you'll do more at work than you would having a day off at home.
Sure. Okay. Tony Blair turning trendy with his Paul Smith-designed naked lady shirt. I don't know if you've seen this. It's the one with the pictures of naked ladies on the cuffs.
And, you know, I mean...
Okay. And finally...
See, this is what annoys me about this feature. It's just, what's that? So what?
Yeah, but it's the Prime Minister of this country wearing a trendy shirt with naked ladies on the cuffs.
All right.
Okay. And finally, what do you make of the fact that Top of the Pops have banned Will Young singing both tracks on the number one slot, and consequently he wasn't on there at all, they had to show the video. The first time anyone's ever made this demand. He wants to sing both the A and B side.
Well, he can't.
It's double A, yeah.
Double A side.
That's what he wanted.
That isn't how it works, is it?
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
And the thing is, which one... I mean, at the end of the day, loads of people have bought it, haven't they? And it's like one of the best... So it doesn't really matter what it does, because people have got it. They can listen to what song they want at home. It doesn't matter about what Top of the Pops do.
Yes.
And it's just annoyed me now.
Who's annoyed you?
Just what goes on in the world. I'll tell you, you're better off not knowing. It's better being in my little world. If that's what people are talking about on the streets and asking the white van man, do you know what I mean?
I think you're right, Carl. Shall I play a lovely song for you? Because you're getting all stressed now, aren't you?
I've not had a good day.
No, I know. We tell you about it later. It's not a good day. Well, I'm going to play a Neil Young track here of Harvest. It's Alabama. It's beautiful. And this is for Carl. Athlete, West Side. I still like that one.
It's a good track.
Yeah, I was worried it was a bit novelty, it would go off very quickly. But it's good.
No, it's not bad at all.
On XFM 104.9, I'm Richard Mays with me, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Steve.
Well, we were talking about the news just now, and there was a story I heard in the week. I think it was on the radio, and I don't know all the details. But what I heard was that a number of, I think it was Falkland, maybe Gulf War veterans, were, I think, suing or complaining to the government because they wanted compensation for post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it seems to me that if you're in the army and you're a soldier, a certain degree of trauma is kind of inevitable. I mean, after all, if you're any good at your job, you are going to see people getting killed. So I don't understand what the ins and outs of it are. I don't know why.
No, if nobody came back and Tony Blair met him and go, all right, well, not really, no. Go on, what's the matter? Well, if you, there was people shooting at us and everything, it was all muddy. Well, calm down, don't cry. Well, I will.
There was a drill sergeant just kept shouting, saying, look at you, stupid boy, where's this gun's not clean? And I just cleaned the gun and it was fine, and now he's telling me to clean it again.
Yeah, and the boots, they were shiny.
He's
got to do that, it's more distant.
His neck was as big as his head.
Well, yeah, but you don't know what they, you know.
I don't know what the ins and outs of it are, but,
What you've got to do is make sure you know what you're going into. That's what I do, you've got to check the small print. So if I was, you know, going over to, like, the Falklands or, you know, the Govs, I'd put my hand up and go, will it be horrible? I go, you at the back, yes? Will it be horrible? It will be horrible, yes. It will be horrible. There will be shooting and lots of death and everything. I go, right, I'm not going to go. And I go, okay then. Okay.
That should be fine, yeah.
It should be fine, yeah. Just like go. Is anyone else scared about this? Pretty much all of us. Okay then, well, we won't send anyone then.
My brother went into the army, right, because he couldn't get a normal job. And my dad said, you know, if you don't get a job by such a date, that's it, son, you're going in the army. When was the Falklands? Was it about
81?
Right, and he joined back in like 81 or something. And he I don't know, he was an older shot or something.
Oh yeah.
And he wrote back to my mum saying, you know, a bad time to join, bad time in this. So she wrote,
"What bad time to join? That's so sweet, Carl, isn't it?" That's like, dear dad, yeah, well done.
Don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah. I was on the dole, that's for sure. Thank you for joining. A month before the Belgrano.
Anyway,
go on.
My mum called up, spoke to the sergeant, and said, "Can you leave him out of this one?
Can you leave him out of this one? What, the Falkland War?"
He's only just joined, and she called him Chuck, which he got done for. Like, she's one of them. I think it's a northern thing, like saying, "How are you, Chuck?"
Yeah.
And she called the sergeant Chuck, and he the sergeant said to my brother, "Your mum, you know, she's called up and asked if you can not go," which, of course, you know, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But can
what?
You tell
what
her?
Do you mean? Why did the sergeant even entertain this?
Well,
Pilkington, come here. Your mum's been giving me a bit of earache. Now, listen, tell her I've told you, but can you call her? Because she called me Chuck and everything. Can you call her and say you don't mind? Well, not really. Oh, please, because I've promised her say you want to go. No, please, say you want to go. Why was he entertaining this phone call?
Probably because he was new.
What?
Because he was new to the army, I suppose.
Who? No, I mean the sergeant.
I don't know. Maybe they do that.
So what happened? He didn't go in the end?
So he didn't go, no.
You can't do it.
That's ludicrous.
I loved it, though. Oh, we went over the top. Pilton, no, I've got a note. Yeah. Is this really your mum? Yeah. Okay, no, this seems to be an order.
Because I notice it says, I do not want to go into the army. I don't want to go and fight. And it's crossed out and it's good. Mum says don't go.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't write this yourself.
No, my mum wrote this. Okay.
You definitely wrote this yourself.
Your excuse. You're going to have to fill envelopes.
No, I'm sure if he was needed, he would have had to go. But I think they made a bit of a special effort. They sort of said, oh.
Well, it wasn't conscription anyway. Oh, no.
But were the other soldiers going around just going,
"Wah!" Pilkington.
No, he ended up being a mechanic in there. And he got kicked out for going for a packet of fags in a tank.
What?
Now, wait a minute. Do you mean he nipped down the shops in a tank?
Yeah.
I don't believe that, Carl. You've
honest to God. That, and he went off with the sergeant's wife. So that didn't help, and he ended up getting kicked out.
Sorry, your brother's a genius.
I love this. First of all, he gets a call from his mum, go and let him off, and goes, oh, God. Then he goes, where's Pilkington? His mum's on the phone. Where is he? He's near your house, Sergeant. Near my house? Well, why is... No reason. Well, when he comes back, when he's finished, tell him his mum called. And can he get me a packet of fags? Tell him to walk this time.
Wow.
This is ludicrous.
So the sergeant phoned out that he was sleeping with his wife?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Did your mum phone out and say, let him off?
No, let him off this time. Can he... Yeah. That's fantastic.
But he misses it. I mean, I haven't seen him for about 11 years. But ever since he came out, he's just kept getting into trouble and that. And the army, you know, people slag it off, but I think you're a certain type of person, it's good for
it
you.
It didn't straighten me out, did it? No. He was going down the shops in a tank, he was shagging someone.
No, but it's really weird. It's like, back then, he was like a proper adult, and he had a house, and he collected crystal with his wife and that. And now, he hasn't got any of that.
Has he got the wife?
No.
Has he got the crystal?
Don't think he has.
And he hasn't got
the house. Seriously, I haven't seen him for about 11 or 12 years.
Carl's stories always start off nice and funny, and then they just leave me empty and slightly depressed. I don't know whether to hug him or shoot him, put him out of his misery. Can we take Carl to the... phone in if you think I should take Carl to the vet and have him put down. Because it's just too stressful. Hyde's main offender, XFM 104.9. Wow. It's that time in the show where I test Carl on his,
homework.
Yeah, for the week. History. The re-education of Carl Pilkington. As you know, we found out last week that he'd, taken one GCSE and he'd got an E, and it was history.
Do you know, Steve, I haven't told you this. Went shopping on Sunday. Buy some new jeans. Was in a shop. Saw an old lad who I hadn't seen for about 2.5 years. Went, "You alright, mate? How are you doing?" First thing he said, "Sorry to hear about your exam results."
Oh, God. Had he listened to the show or someone had just told him?
Yeah, he was on a train listening to it on the way to a football match or something.
He knew that you were on the show, did he? He was regularly listening.
First thing he said, "Wow. So sorry about your exam results."
Haven't people have been coming up to you in the station going, "You alright? Do you want to talk about it or?"
God.
I know. Well, you did take it pretty badly. For a 29-year-old man.
Just a bit of a shock, because it annoyed me that...
It wasn't a shock. You knew you hadn't got any.
No, I thought I'd have got a bit more than that. I wasn't expecting, you know...
But you didn't even think you took history, so that must have been a bonus.
Yeah, that's what my girlfriend said.
Yeah.
So, but didn't she say something quite philosophical, which was like, you know, you didn't even have an E this morning?
Yeah, she said yesterday, you know, you didn't have anything today.
Exactly.
Which was good.
Yeah.
Mm.
But anyway...
Anyway, okay then, well, you were tested on, Che Guevara. Right, Carl.
We should just remind people what happened, because
this is a little series. I've got a lot of these little books, right? They're about, like, 2.5 inches long by about, you know, 2 inches wide. Those tiny little things you see in the, sort of, on the front counter of Waterstones or Smiths, and it's, The Life and Times, a series of all the greats in history. Last week you read about Rasputin, you wasn't impressed.
No.
This week...
This book's a little bit thicker than the Rasputin one.
No, it's the same, I think, was it? Maybe the writing's
smaller. Your writing or something.
But okay, Che Guevara. Who was Che Guevara? Now, you learnt to pronounce it, right? And how do you remember? You told me in the week how you remembered what his name was.
Che is like shake, and his surname is like guitar.
Right.
Guevara.
Okay.
But anyway. Right.
Tell us what you know, and we'll ask.
Right, first of all, his name isn't really Che.
Right.
It was something else, and Che means buddy in, wherever he's from, Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Right, so anyway, he was born, and he was,
By the way, Carl's not reading this from a book now. This is all out of his own head.
This is not pre-planned notes.
No, this is, I mean, sounds written, but he's just riffing
on
this.
Right, here we go.
Go on.
He was born, He had bad asthma as a kid.
Right.
Which I thought was quite interesting because they didn't have cars and that back then, and that's what they're blaming asthma on these days. The bad build-up of traffic and that.
Well, they did have cars, Carl.
Not as many as they have now.
Okay.
So that was something I picked up early in the story.
He had asthma, yeah.
His dad was into he wasn't a politician or anything, but he was, you know, they were into the politics.
Sure.
So he sort of grew up around a family who was into, you know, watching the news and that and keeping up to date on what's going on in the world. So that sort of rubbed off on him. He went to school. He was doing stuff on medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to be a doctor, or he thought he did.
Yeah.
Anyway, he learned really quick. He did, like, 6 months' work in about 3 months. So he could have some time off school or something.
Right.
So he took that time off and went to travel South America with his mate.
Okay.
On a motorbike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he saw all this bad going on in the world. And he thought, oh, this is bad, this.
Yeah.
You know, I could do something here. I could change this, make it a nicer place to live. So he said, what I'm going to do is join a gang that sort of is against the government.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I'm all right so far.
Yeah. You're doing very well.
Right, and the woman who he met, who was, like, running this gang, is a woman called Hilda, who he later married.
All right.
And Hilda introduced him to Castro.
Right.
Who was, like, the head cheese of the gang.
Right.
Who wanted to change things.
Okay.
And, so, she said, like, I think his real name was Engelbert or something like that.
Ernesto.
What?
Ernesto.
Ernesto. She said, this is Ernesto. He does medicine. Should have him in our sort of army. Yeah. So when there's injuries and that, he can make people better.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, all right then. So he joined the gang and they went to sort of, I'm chopping it down a bit.
Sure. You're condensing this.
It's not in real time.
No.
So, so anyway, so they go.
It feels like it.
See, this is why I just wanted to ask me questions.
Well, listen, let's cut to the chase then. So, okay. Obviously, he made his name as part of the Cuban Revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what date that was?
About, no, I don't.
Okay. And, obviously, so, he was a big involvement in that.
Yeah.
In which country was he caught?
He was caught in Bolivia.
Yeah. How did he die?
They executed him.
Yeah.
He shot him, and his last words before he died, right, the guy's there with the gun, and he wasn't scared, he wasn't, like, crying or anything. He said to the bloke with the gun, he said, go on, shoot me, be a man,
yeah,
he said,
yeah.
And they shot him.
And did it tell you what happened to him after that, his dead body?
No, but Suzanne was telling me about this the other night. She said there's more to it than that. They stuck it in a glass coffin, didn't
yeah,
they?
So, yeah.
Well, no, but before that, they cut off his hands and his feet
and sent them to the...
No, because they buried them in different places, and then they buried the body. I think they might have sent the hands to Fidel, but they buried him in an unmarked grave because they didn't want anyone to start using his grave or his tomb as a place of martyrdom. But, of course, that just made him even more of a martyr because no one knew where he was buried, so it just meant that he was even more of a...
Yeah, but that wouldn't work anyway, because if they did find out, that's more places people can go and sort of grieve. Do you know what I mean? If
Genius.
You've got all these different graves...
What, with different parts of his body?
Well, you've got a foot over there, and it's like, well, you know, oh, God.
His head over there.
Thanks for what you're doing.
So, essentially, what's your summary of Che?
Yeah, you like him more than Rasputin, don't you?
Lot better bloke than Rasputin. I can understand why he gets one of those little books. Well worth knowing about, and good bloke. Did a lot, you know.
Crammed a lot into his short life.
Yeah. But, yeah, interesting bloke.
But just on the subject of Che Guevara, Steve called me up in the week because he was going through the duty log. We love the complaints on the BBC duty log. And someone had written in because one of the Blue Peter presenters was wearing a Che Guevara T-shirt. And what did the bloke say?
Yeah, this is a series of people can phone in and write and complain to the BBC about different things.
Why would you complain about wearing something?
Well, this was the thing. Is you complain about the best one. I mean, there's been some amazing complaints.
Oh, there's some great ones.
The best one, my favourite one that wasn't a complaint but was actually just someone had to phone in was, what an excellent edition of Kilroy this morning.
Yeah, but there's lots of that. There's things like, Esther was superb. Yeah. Woman. Call.
Yeah.
One.
Woman called. There was a brilliant one I remember once, which was, Robbie Williams was wearing a Nike T-shirt on Top of the Pops last night. Product placement on the BBC.
It's just all
so
things that are, yeah.
But anyway, this was one phone call. There was a presenter on Blue Peter. She was wearing a T-shirt with Che Guevara's face on it.
Right.
And someone had written in and said, or someone had phoned in and said, very worried to see a presenter wearing Che Guevara's face on a T-shirt. Are you trying to turn my children into communist revolutionaries?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine who's thinking that. Who's bothering to phone up with that information, Carl?
Yeah.
Who knows what they're going to say about this show?
Yeah,
I mean, you've been championing the work of Communist Revolution.
Luckily, no one listening to this show can either write or operate a phone. So I think we're pretty safe. So thumbs up, Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Well done to Carl there.
Yeah, no, I thought it was brilliant.
I did
brilliant.
All right, didn't I?
But the thing is, that, though, you keep saying to us, you don't understand why history's interesting, and yet you're clearly interested by that. You remembered that
Carl,
information.
I've got a few in the series. Can I give you your next week's homework?
Go on.
There you go.
Oh.
Read it out.
Hitler.
Hitler? The Life and Times of Hitler?
1889 to 1945.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know much about him?
What's the significance of that last date? Why did he- what was the significance of that last date, Carl? Why do you think he died in 1945?
End of the war.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested in. So this-
Yeah.
This will have stuff about Anderson Shelters and that.
It might not be covered in the Hitler, biography, the Anderson Shelter, but-
Just check if there's a special Anderson, chapter. Anderson Shelter chapter.
Well, I'll look forward to this. Yeah, be interesting.
Powdered Egg is page 4.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're going to play a hip-hop.
Yeah, it's time for a hip-hop hooray. People are absolutely in love with this feature, Rick, as you well know, and I know you're somewhat jealous of it.
Yeah.
This week, I know that Outkast are currently on the playlist, aren't they, with their new single, Whole of the World? Is that all? The Whole World? Anyway, this is a track from the big compilation, Outkast. It's just a sort of compilation of all their greatest hits. And this is a good one. It's called Rosa Parks. Play it, Carl. From their greatest hits album, that's Outkast, and a track called Rosa Parks.
Like it.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Now, we just had a call from someone, impressed by Carl, and Carl's very pleased because this guy has actually done a PhD on Che Guevara. So in theory, whatever subject he chose, in theory, he's probably one of the experts in the world on this particular field. Now, hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, what's your name?
My name's David.
David, now where did you do your PhD?
Did it at UCL.
Did it at UCL, my old college. And what was the actual title of the PhD?
It was Che Guevara's influence on class struggle in Europe in the 60s.
And what did you think of Carl's performance?
I thought he did really, really well. The only thing, I'd never heard those last words before.
So Carl actually knows something you don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
Although you presumably not take that as verified information. You probably wouldn't take everything Carl said as gospel. You'd probably look it up yourself, would you?
I probably would have a look, yeah.
Did you know about baby's eyes?
Sorry?
Did you know that baby's eyes don't grow?
I didn't know that.
You see, that's why you shouldn't take things Carl says as gospel. Because it come out with something, you know, vaguely intelligent, and then say, "Did you know about baby's eyes don't grow?"
Any questions that you'd want to test Carl on? Any thoughts? Anything he missed there on the history of Che Guevara?
I think he did really well, and I think he should be congratulated.
What? No, because Carl has problems with understanding why people are interested in history, and even though he's been reading these books, he keeps saying, "Why does anyone care about history? Why is it important?" What would you say to Carl?
I think he should maybe then look at who Che Guevara did influence and why he still influences people today.
Yeah. Well, he knows that he influenced Citizen Smith, and he knows that if McDonald's ever wanted to swap Ronald McDonald for Che Guevara, it would cost him an awful lot of money. So he is trying to apply it to the modern world. He is having a go.
Well, maybe you should think, like, why Rage Against the Machine have him on their T-shirts?
Good point, Carl. What do you think of that? What do you think they have him on the T-shirts, Carl?
I don't know. Maybe that was a design of the T-shirt. Maybe they wanted another T-shirt.
Maybe they wanted Ronald McDonald.
But didn't have any in.
Sure.
And they said, oh, we'll have that one there then.
Well, thanks very much. Just before you go, do you think Carl would be an interesting subject for a PhD?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Okay, well, if you're not
well, hopefully one
busy
day you'll become a professor and you can maybe set that as some coursework.
I could do, yeah.
Carl Pilkington. Imagine that.
Cheers,
Dave. I'm having an MA in Carl Pilkington. Thanks very much, Dave.
Okay, bye.
Cheers, bye.
That's good. My teachers never did that.
What encouraged you in that way?
Never said well done. So
really?
Yeah.
But you never showed up.
Yeah, you have to be in the same room.
They were
really
too busy saying, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
No, but Mrs. Matthews, me head teacher.
Oh, let's not lay into Matthews again. She's not getting anything.
Not Matty Matthews. Not Grimble Matty Matthews.
I'd never be a high flyer.
If she could see you now. What did she say? You'll never be a high flyer?
She said that to me, mum and dad.
Really?
On a parents' evening.
That
was after I'd played the drums in Little Donkey.
She clearly didn't know what she was talking about. A pinch of salt.
REM with Orange Crush on XFM 104.9. Well, nearly 20 minutes to go. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve and Carl. Carl, what did you point to me then?
Just now reminded me.
Go on.
Orange Crush. Do you know we were talking the other night about contraceptives?
No, you said to me, I've got to do lots of homework. You look up how they used, in the olden days, how they used to use elephant dung as a contraceptive. And I went, what? And he went, no, look it up. You make sure you give me those things. I said, I don't know. Was it they put, when you're running around with dung on the end of your knob, no woman really wants to go near you. Is that how it worked? And he went, come on, you give me things to do.
If you've just written a PhD on how to use elephant dung as a contraceptive, please get in touch.
And
I will give the number in a minute.
It's not elephant, it was crocodile.
Oh.
Why?
But, yeah, orange.
Sorry,
crush.
No, you can't. No, whoa.
What?
Back. Ow. What do you mean, it was crocodile dung? How did they use crocodile dung as a contraceptive?
I don't know.
Right, go on, Orange Crush, yeah.
So Orange Crush, what it was, I was trying to look up that. that thing about crocodile stuff, using it. And I came up with another one saying that they used to use a lemon, sort of shaped, right, and the put it on, and the citric acid in it
would kill the sperm. Right.
So they would wear the lemon on the end of the knob.
Was that erotic?
It works.
Listen, I'll try anything, Carl, mate. That works.
Yeah.
If the ladies like that. I mean, could it be anything? Could it be like, you know, a melon?
Kumquat?
Yeah, maybe. In my case.
What's those hairy ones?
Yeah.
Anyway, that just reminded me when orange crush.
Well, thanks very much for that, Carl. It's, I didn't even ask him to.
No. So orange crush reminded you of the lemon contraceptive? Okay. Very good.
You could use it as a little lemon squeezer, couldn't you? It could be like a novelty lemon squeezer. You just stand in the kitchen, and then when someone would just come along and go, on the end of your...
Did you make this lemonade yourself?
Yes, I did. It tastes funny.
Would you... Carl, this is a quick question to you. Would you ever sort of find yourself in a situation where you might confuse a woman's breasts with mountains? Is that a concern for you, do you think?
No.
Not a problem for you?
Well, not if they're small and humble, I wouldn't.
That's what I'm hoping. That's what, fingers crossed.
If they were small and humble, then I'd pretty much not confuse them with mountains.
Thank God. But I mean, if they were large and sort of pendulous.
And with, like quite rocky with snow on top.
Exactly.
Then I'd go, hold on, love.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, love. I was into this, but now.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm alone.
Carl, do you know what we're talking about?
Who has done that?
I'll give you a clue. One more time. See, my breasts are small and humble, so you don't confuse them with mountains. Shakira. It's a lyric that
taking
means
the nation by storm.
It's quite a nice song. It's got another...
It's very much like... It sounds a bit like Men at Work Down Under.
Yeah, it's got the pan pipes.
Is this What's Its Kid?
Who?
Julio Iglesias.
No, it's Shakira. Consequently, the word Shakira there being mentioned.
I haven't heard of him.
Okay. She's a big Latin star, apparently. Big Latin American star.
Yeah.
And, anyway, just sing it again for us.
See, my breasts are small and humble, so you don't confuse them with mountains. Which is a concern, it was always a concern.
Definitely.
Actually, the number of times she's woken up, and there's been a fat bloke with a beard, and a little Sherpa, she goes, what are you doing? And they go, we're just trying to climb this look again. Oh, sorry, love.
Oh, it's your tits, I didn't realise.
Oh, your tits, we thought we were in...
I can't believe it.
I can't. Well, can we camp? You can't camp on my tits for the night. No.
Well, why are you climbing them?
Well, I just because they were there. Well, they're small and humble. What are you mental? Look at Carl. I love that look of Carl. Carl is looking back and forth. You know when you sort of you go to a cat and it looks back and forth between two people. That's very much like Carl's looking at us now.
Or when like a child sees a midget or something in the street. They're just transfixed, aren't they? And the parents don't stare.
When we were pushing Ash, just our producer's in a wheelchair, and we were pushing
him
through
the VC. We should make that.
No, he's not a little midget. He's not tall. But we were pushing him through the VC, and this little kid just came up and just stood in front of him and looked at him.
Yeah.
I just laughed.
It was funny. Do you do that? I imagine that you get caught staring at
him. Yeah, do you go up to people with problems and go, Mummy, is that a monster?
Well, I was telling you one about when I used to go with my dad in the taxi.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell us this story.
Well,
Your father was a taxi driver?
My dad he had loads of jobs, which he did back then. And they don't do that anymore, do they, people? They don't
have a variety
loads of
jobs?
Of stuff.
Sure.
But at one point, he had a black cab, and I used to go with him. He used to get, a beer crate and put it in the front of the black cab.
Yeah.
And sort of sit just next to the meter. And, anyway, we got this call, and, the guy on the end of the radio said, oh, you've got your son with you, haven't you? So he said, yeah. So it's just like, you know, we've got a pick up at number 11 Village Lane or whatever. And he said, oh, right. And it was this woman. It was like a woman version of the Elephant Man.
Wow. The Elephant Woman?
Yeah, it looked like... it was really strange because I was in the front of the cab. And when you're a kid, if something looks odd, you're a bit scared of it, aren't you?
Yeah.
And my dad was like, look, be all right. And we're driving towards her.
Don't worry, son, I've got loads of buns.
And just to
I think I'll just throw one down the street if it lets you run after
you're
it.
You're being mean, right?
How old were you, 18?
No, I was about 12 or something like that. 11, 12. And as we got closer to her, it looked like she was holding, like, a bag of spuds on her shoulder.
For a snack?
Right.
And her head was all a bit mangled and messy and that. And my dad said, whatever you do, don't stare at her face.
Yeah.
And she got in the back.
Because you turn into stone.
Well, she got in the back, and I had, like, the mirror, the driver's mirror thing, yeah. And sort of having a look, trying to work out. And he said, don't stare at her face. I couldn't work out where her face was. It was that weird.
Oh, God.
So I'm not sure you're from Manchester. I think you're from, like, Narnia or something.
Yeah, you got frog boys walking around.
The Lord of the Rings.
That got, like, the claws of a lobster and the head of a toad.
Yeah.
And you got women getting in with spuds for heads. I mean, what is this place?
The place you grew up. This is madness.
You can't believe it in London, can you? You come down and you go, look, symmetry. It must be amazing.
It must be a thing to do with upbringing, though, mustn't it? Because, again, do you know I've said to you before, years ago, when I was a kid and didn't have any worries, good-looking lad, you go through it a bit. Have a few more worries, and you look knackered. Now, back there, there's a lot more worries and stuff, so you get a lot more freaks. Whereas in London, everyone's, like, happy, aren't they?
I love the fact that stress can cause your fingers to fuse and your heads to grow.
No, but if
she, like, must have been really stressed to have a head.
She was she an accountant or something?
You know what I mean?
But what does she do? What does she say?
Where was she going, by the way?
She couldn't speak.
London Zoo, please.
She was going to, like,
to
a
the
pet
fair.
Shop. Seriously, honest to God. On my mum's life, she was. Because at the end of the day, that's a good thing with animals. They don't judge you, do they?
She's not an animal.
She's a human being.
She's not actually an elephant.
No, but she...
You know the elephant man was not actually an elephant. You understand that? He's got no elephant genes in him at all.
No.
That was just a cruel name people gave him.
Yeah.
No, it's the name of the disease, isn't it? Elephantitis.
So this woman, why was she going to a pet shop?
She was going to a pet shop. What, to find a husband?
Is this true?
No, it is true, yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm not taking the mickey, because it must be so really bad for
of
you.
Of course it is.
I'm
going on to you today about cutting myself shaving.
Yeah.
I was going on about that. To think that she... I mean, she's probably not alive now. But to think...
But you're saying that you're going to say this is a worse problem than a little cut shaving, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There's a couple of key questions I need to ask. One, if she couldn't talk, how did she tell your father where to drive it? Did she have it written on a note?
Did she point with her nose?
Yeah.
Right, this has got silly. Pick your song.
But also, finally, where did you say she lived again?
It was like in a village. A little small village.
Right.
Hidden out of the way.
All I'm saying is we could maybe get, like, some sort of coach, book some coaches, get a coach party up there to have a look at her.
And now
you can make some lemonade.
The offspring of a woman and some spuds.
Yeah.
Please enter at your peril, shitty. Give me a shiny shilling. Wow. Oh, that's terrible. Well, I'm going to play a little bit of Teenage Fan Club song for the lovers here. We left it very late. We've been just rapping with Carl P here, and this is I Need Direction. Teenage Fan Club. Oh, they're a good band, aren't they?
They are a good band.
XFM 104.9. We're nearly there. So will your girlfriend be proud of you now? You performed a PhD graduate there.
It's a bit annoying because she's not in London today. She's in Sunderland or something, or Newcastle.
Right.
Working.
So she won't know what your greatest triumph. She saw last week's and you got an E in history, and now this week you come through with some great praise that Mrs. Matthews never... laid upon
even
you, did
she?
No, just said you won't be a high flyer. Eh? You've shown them, haven't you?
You never know. I mean, I had mates who, my mate Colin Makin, who did the disco with me. Pilkin's making music.
Yeah.
He was dead brainy. I don't think he's up to much these days.
Sure.
You can't plan it.
Yeah.
Just goes to show.
Well, I mean, you can do a certain amount of planning. You can do. I mean, driving a tank down to the shops with some fags never going to mean you're a high flyer. You know?
And that woman who you picked up in your black cab, she's in a circus now and she can fly, which is good. Am I confusing that with a film? You went to see a film this week, didn't you?
Mm.
What did you see?
Monsters Inc.
Oh, did you have a little argument? What was the argument about? Did you have an argument with your girlfriend or something? Because about
well, the history thing took over last weekend. To be honest, when you found out my results. That was like the talking topic of most of the weekend. And
why? What did she say?
You brought it on yourself. You know, why didn't you take it serious? You know,
was she annoyed or upset?
Well, she just sort of said, "You can learn. Look, you learnt Rasputin. You know, if only you did
you've
that.
You've done
at
that. You've done Rasputin.
You know what I mean? She said, you can do it if you're told to. She said, you know, it's only because Ricky's told you to read the book that you're reading it.
Mm. Does she think we're sort of like taskmasters?
Does she think we bully you?
Nah, she knows it's just a laugh.
Yeah. What did you tell your parents about your...
Nope.
No. Never?
Because they never even questioned where my results were, so I don't want to tell them that, you know, I didn't get any.
No. What? How did they do it at school?
Didn't have them back then, did they?
Right. when was that called? The Middle Ages.
I don't know. I mean, like I say, back then, it wasn't about getting results and that, was it? It was just about learning trades. Mm. I mean, my dad, right, he can, like, put windows in his house.
Yeah.
Do plumbing.
He should. It's dark, isn't it? He's done that, first of all. Right.
So he can do what? He's got a multitude of different jobs.
Yeah, he can do all sorts. Do you know what I mean? Mm. If there's a problem in my flat, I can call him up and say, you know, this isn't working, what should I do? Mm. And he'll say, like...
Is that our brain surgeon?
He'll say, oh, fix it.
Sure. So what about Monsters, Inc.? What did you make of it?
So, all right, it is a kid's film. It sort of annoyed
me. Is it?
Okay.
I was having, like...
what gave that away, do you think? Was it the songs? Was it the animation?
Yeah, the fluffy little things that squiggled round on the screen for an hour and a half.
It is annoying because, like, there's kids everywhere and kids don't watch films, do they?
No.
Do you know what I mean? They're messing
around. I don't know why they make kids' films,
and you can't,
to be honest. It's mental.
You can't concentrate properly when you've got kids, you know, screaming, making noise around you and that. Yeah. So I'd say, my little review, wait until it comes out on DVD.
Okay. What a great review that would be! Wouldn't that be great? Film 2002.
Yeah.
Jonathan Ross going... Well, I don't want to give it away until it comes out on DVD. Yeah. Oh.
No, but not giving it away, it's just that you can't watch it properly when there's kids screaming around you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
What are you looking forward to this week? Are you going to go and see anything?
Just been talking to Ricky now, because my missus is away. I'll probably get out a DVD tonight.
Yep.
Rounders.
Oh, right, okay.
I thought you might like that.
And if you can get, I mean, if I can get you tickets, say, in the stalls or in a box for the stage version of Midnight Express, would you be up for that?
it's on ice.
I think it's the final year, isn't it?
It's lovely. It's Midnight Express on ice.
Yeah.
And it's a musical as well.
They're on roller skates.
Do you have any dope under your jacket? No.
Yeah. It's well worth hanging out.
It's great. John Hurt is actually in this version as well, which is fantastic. Who played the Elephant Man. So it's all comes, the universe all comes together.
Have you ever seen the stage version of the Elephant Man?
No.
You'd love that?
Yeah. Who's in that? I have seen a clip of it. Who plays him?
I think they got a real guy with elephantitis.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you finishing on?
Let's have a final song for the ladies. It's from the album Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me by The Cure, and it's The Beautiful Catch.
Goodbye. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.